Hour number two, good to have you with us. Rico returns tomorrow for the Stone & Wojo Drop Tournament. Mike Stone has worked side by side with Hatchet Man developing the brackets. It's a yearly tradition, and the gentleman will be here with us tomorrow to crown another champion. We'll see if I can go back to back. I have a strong entry in this year's tournament, and we'll see what happens. If you're just joining the show, this is kind of the conversation of the day, and it's a wide-ranging one, which is, A, the hell do we do with this baseball team? Now, they've caught fire the last 15 games. The problem is, in the process of catching fire, you've lost Reese Olson. The trade deadline is bearing down on you, where I would presume you're still trading Jack Flaherty. And then a pair of reports came out today. Bob Nightingale reporting the Tigers have engaged in talks with the Orioles and Dodgers about Skubal. And very quick to tell them they will need to be overwhelmed to trade him. But they're in talks. That's certainly a step up from Dodgers, Orioles want to make an offer or teams want Skubal. The fact that the Tigers are listening tells you it's not impossible. If you're tuning in to hear me yell at anybody, it's not going to happen because I do understand both sides of this argument. I fully understand if you want to keep him. I think the thing you need to understand is you have to sign him. He has to be amenable to a long-term extension because what you don't want to do is play a game of chicken with Scott Boras. And I would want to make Tarek Skubal the face of my franchise. And I would then have to go out and spend $40, $50, $60 million this offseason to begin winning. Otherwise, what's the point? If you want to deal them, I'm not mad at you either. And again, I don't panic about one singular player in baseball because reality is this team is going to need to make moves whether they keep Skubal or trade him. I mean, you're going to need to go out if you trade Skubal. What do you do with Flaherty? Obviously, Jackson Jobe will be a member of this rotation next year. No, you would need a pitcher. Maybe two. So I'm interested where you're at. They took two out of three in Toronto, but Reese Olson, the only thing we've gotten is he's on the 15-day IL, and he's going to be, quote, out for a bit. That's suggestive of more than the 15 days. And the reality is right now, if you want to live on, you know, planet Nebular, and you want to say, okay, I want to go for it. We're only six out. Your rotation right now is Skubal, Flaherty for one more turn, Montero, and two bullpen days. That's what you're putting out there. It's not about what I want. I want this team to win their next 50 games and go to the playoffs. It's about what's reality. Can this team with 62 games left play 660 baseball and get 13, 14 games over 500? No. No, I don't see that. Especially if Reese Olson is missing any extended time. And anything more than two turns in the rotation's extended. Flaherty, if he's not here, your rotation would be Skubal, Montero, Kenny Cott, David Hall, and my mom. You're not making the playoffs that way. So I'd like to know where you're at. Obviously, it sucks to have to sell, but that's just, it's never changed. And I'm sorry, but if you're an under 500 team, I got a real hard time taking a victory lap. So I'd like to know what you want to do. And what do you make of Tigers have scouts at the Orioles AAA Norfolk affiliates? Are they still the Norfolk Tides? Used to be the Mets affiliate back in the day. The point is, they're scouting Orioles players. The Orioles are absolutely the fit for Skubal. They have the players you need, the players you want. You have what the Orioles covet. You tell me. What side of this are you on? And I don't think it's an argument. You know, listening to different shows on this station, a lot of people want to get angry about it. I don't have any anger. I don't. They keep them. I can build you a pathway to being a good baseball team. You sell them. I can build you a pathway to being a good baseball team. This is what Scott Harris is paid to do. You got to put your big boy pants on, and you got to make a decision on what kind of executive you want to be. But if you keep Scooble, you got to win in the next 2 years. I have seen no evidence from Chris Illich that is where their mindset is. And I've seen no evidence from Scott Harris that's where their mindset is. So that's why I've always leaned towards I'll listen to trade offers. But there's no offer that doesn't feature Jackson Holliday that I'm listening to. None. Both from a positional value standpoint, I don't have a shortstop. I don't have one now. I don't have one next year. I don't have one in 2026. Not in the pipeline. And if you want to say, well, I'll go get one, go look at the free agent shortstops this year. Who you want to go get? You want to trade for Bo Bichette? Do you want to know what that would cost you? And then you'd have to worry about signing him. So I'd like to know where you're at. 248-539-9797. And I have no qualms if you are happy about the team winning. We all are. But it's too little, too late. I mean, they will have to go on a magical run. Like if we do the math, they're 49-51 right now. And let's say you got to get to 87 wins. We'll just pick a number. I think that's probably a little light, to be honest. I think 90's the marker. But let's say you got to get to 87 wins. Okay. So you need to win 38 baseball games of your last 62. 38-24. You got to play 14 games above 500 here on out. Without Olson for the time being and potentially losing Jack Flaherty. The arguments to buy, guys, the only way you could buy is if it's a player with term. If it's a player, it's going to be here next year. And I don't know who that player is. 248-539-9797. But the headliners, the Nightingale report today, you're in talks with the Orioles and Dodgers. I don't view the Yankees as being a serious contender because they don't have a shortstop to offer you that is ready. I mean, if you wanted Peraza, you could have him. The point I'm making is the Orioles are the fit. The Orioles are desperate. The Orioles are capable of winning it all. You have the one thing no one else has. And you got to procure the offer. David, ticket techs, in your opinion as well. I mean, the winning, buy, hold, sell. The Scooble reports, where are you at?
See, here's the thing. In variables change, I understand they're winning with their 7-3 in their last 10. They've looked good. They've looked decent. But variables change, and it's not just about winning. There are other variables here, and the injury to Olson changes things for me. It just knocks you down another starter, and that's something that I don't want to have to deal with. So I'm now trade Scooble. Trade Flaherty, get what you can, get the bats. I do believe that is the only way you can get bats. Until I see they spend in the offseason, right. Until I see that they change that pattern, my pattern right now or my idea is to trade Scooble.
Well, I think the ironic thing would be, David, is the same people who complained about not wanting to sign a Chapman or a Bellinger or a JD, like, oh, I don't want to spend that money, it's egregious, it's irresponsible, they're going to be the same people on their knees begging to the heavens that the team do exactly that. Now, if you're like me, it's not my money and I don't care and there's no salary cap and I'm not going to sit here and act like I care about, you know, an owner's wealth, I have every right to say I want to spend. So if they keep Scooble, guess what? Here's what the tenor of the argument's going to be. Get the checkbook, Chris.
Correct, because you now have to spend to keep Scooble.
And then surround him.
Exactly.
And in short order. There's no scenario you keep him and just wait for the kids 2-3 years down the line. That doesn't make any sense.
It's a similar discussion of what we talked about with Cade. If you're going to build around him, then you got to invest around him.
Correct.
Well, you keep Scooble, you got to invest around him.
The argument I would make is I could, in a more effective economic manner, build a really good baseball team by dealing Scooble than keeping him. The idea of paying a pitcher $30 million a year, or again, like a couple months ago, we talked about it, and it was like, if he goes to the open market and pitches the next 2.5 years like this and wins 2 Cy Youngs and is 29 when he hits the open market and Boris is after 8, 9, 10 years, and by the time inflation is done, 35, 37, 38 mil a year, it gets very scary. The point I'm making is if I deal him and I get a bunch of stuff that is under team control and cheap, I have Jackson Job. I bring him up. I got Olsen. I'm going to have the ability to spend a little bit on pitching. And offensively speaking, I have reduced $60 or $70 million in expenditure to I can roll with what I have. So I see it both ways. I do. And honestly, I'm exhausted by it because people get so angry about it. I don't understand it.
It shouldn't be that thing.
Hey, maybe if the team would have done their effing job this offseason, we wouldn't be having this conversation. They would have signed Chapman, drafted Langford, we'd be in the wild card, and there would be no conversation of this. But you didn't do your job.
I don't want to trade Schuble.
Nobody does. Nobody does. And nobody wants to see the team lose. But I try to live in the real world. Do I think they can win a World Series? No.
And to be fair, you brought this up earlier in the year, and you were so smart about it, and you're right.
Oh, I made fun of them. No, that was my prize.
Not just that. But yes, so the Tigers couldn't hit. Okay, the pitching staff was wonderful to start the year. And you said, but it's not going to continue. Injuries may happen.
Right.
And guess what's happening?
It has. And again, the hitting's picked up.
Yes.
It's offset some of
yes.
it.
Yes.
But it's just... they're wildly inconsistent. And now, look, there's no timetable for Kerry Carpenter. There's no timetable for Mize. There's no timetable right now for Olsen. And if I'm dealing Flaherty in the next 8 days, if you don't want to deal Jack Flaherty, I need to hear a credible case. No yelling. Explain to me your rationale. Because if I'm down Olsen and Flaherty, you just can't have an honest conversation about contending. If you keep them both, I need to understand your plan. So that's where we're at. You got scouts at the Orioles AAA affiliate. You're in talks with the Orioles and Dodgers. The Yankees, reports out of New York, are willing to put their number one prospect now, Spencer Jones, in any deal to go after Schuble. Spencer Jones is 6'6", 230. He's basically like an Aaron Judge center fielder. High strikeout rate, titanic power. I'm not telling you should be in love with it. I can only say as a proxy for the New York Yankees organization, I would trade you my top five prospects for Tarik Skubal. Seriously. Take whatever you want. Because I understand what my team's up against. A, they're in free fall and have no pitching. And B, they can't afford to replace the pitching this offseason if they want to sign Juan Soto. I will give you whatever you want. You want Anthony Volpe? Done. I'll do whatever you want. I speak for the New York Yankees. I am speaking for Hal Steinbrenner right now. Whatever you want to get Tarik Skubal in pinstripes. But it's not going to happen. I don't think the Yankees have the juice. Baltimore's the team. And if Baltimore doesn't want to pay the piper, you keep them. It's John Paul Morosi from the other day. And that has progressed to the point where Bob Nightingale's reported the Tigers are in talks with the Orioles and Dodgers. And again, the backdrop, they have been informed you're going to have to overwhelm. Let us not, I don't want any illusions being made that this is a certainty or it's happening. Here, you want to have some fun? Last I checked, that's what radio's for. I would still put the odds of Skubal getting dealt 10%. I have a feeling the Tigers are going to ask for something that is so ridiculous and so absurd that it might even be above what I've said I would take. Holiday, Mayo, Beavers. They may just make it so that they don't have to trade him. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Won't be the first time, sure as hell won't be the last. But I'm not letting the winning affect the long view for me, which is this team is not close to being a World Series team. I think they're close to being good. I think they're close to being fun. But that close is going to require an offseason or a blockbuster trade or no more pizza spears, money spears. So we're finding out where you guys are at. And with it, we go to Kevin in Macomb, 97.1. Kev, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Good, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yo, look, this is going to be a little random, but I remember back when the great Terry Foster was with the station, there was a story he was working on with Calvin Johnson, and if I correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you would refer to it as his opus piece or his baby, essentially. And I believe that Tarik Skubal right now is going to be Harris's opus piece, in my opinion, to determine his competency. The million-dollar question is the ownership going to pay, you know, in the future and that? And honestly, I don't believe at all that Ilitch has any plan to spend. So I feel that you got to deal Skubal, and it's just, you look at Scott Harris's draft picks. His last two draft picks he has made aren't probably going to be here until like 27, probably. So if you make that trade and you get those prospects, because I feel, I'm sorry, Mike, but I love Spencer Jones with the Yankees, but he hasn't had a good year, and I still am a little worried about him. And sorry, but you could keep Volpe as well. And
oh, listen, the Yankees don't have what it takes. I that's why I said to you, Kevin, if Scott Harris called me with your opinion and mm-hmm. said, I need your top five prospects, I need Dominguez, I need Jones, I'd give you everything. If I'm Brian Cashman, absolutely. I'm losing my job. So no, I don't care.
And it's, as you said, it's Scott Harris's job to know what each player's value is. It's his job to get into a bidding war with the Yankees to make the Orioles possibly overspend or give him an offer that's just too good to refuse. I just feel that this is going to be a defining moment in his career for me, at least with the Tigers, because I don't think we're going to spend. And then it's like you said, you know, Scherzer has Boris as his agent, and I think Boris was Scherzer's agent, if I'm wrong, but mm-hmm. that happened with old man Ilitch, who was definitely willing to spend and wanted to win. He offered, you know, Scherzer that offer, and then Boris said, wait a minute, we want some more money. So I don't know. I just feel the writing's on the wall, and the Orioles, I like baseball. You probably know more than me, but I know that the Orioles farm system right now, their top four guys, like including that Basalo, those guys could be a number one or number two in any other prospects farm system.
Correct.
I'd say.
Yeah, and listen, here's the thing too, right? And it's so hard to project this stuff, Kevin. I get myself in trouble with it. I mean, look, when the Yankees signed Gerrit Cole to a 9-year, $325 million or $330 million deal, if you believe Skubal is that good, well, then what the hell do you think he's going to ask for? You think he's going to take less than Skubal? Or excuse me, less than Gerrit Cole? Cole makes AAV 36 a year. No, he's not going to get, I don't think he will get into the 40s like Scherzer and DeGrom are. Those are older pitchers, shorter term deals. The point I'm making is 36 mil a year, and the contract is all about term. If I'm Boris, I'm asking for 8 years. I'm asking 8 years, 40 mil. Go ahead. You don't want to pay that? I'll take him to the open market. If I'm the Tigers, you got to make a choice. Do you want to go that route? No. You could pay more. You could say, look, we don't want to do 8 years, but we'll pay you 42, 43, 44 a year, 4-year extension. Then he gets another bite at the apple in his early 30s. There are ways to play. I need to see this organization get serious. And whether you consider him a victim of timing, of the rebuild, of whatever it is, in the 7 years Chris Ilitch has owned the team, I just haven't seen it yet. I'm not telling you it's not going to happen, but I'm sorry. As I sit here now, what is more likely? That the Tigers will have a below average payroll or an above average payroll? I know which side of the ledger I'm on. So with that said, what is the way for me on a budget-friendly basis to build a real baseball team? It's probably not having a $40 million pitcher. So that, I understand that side of the argument when people want to trade Skubal. And if I'm Scott Harris, what gets me closer? Well, if I can fill out a lineup card, that gets me closer, believe it or not. And if I got to go to my owner and I got to go get the money to backfill a rotation, the Jackson Jobe and Reese Olson are going to be the 1 and 2. That's easier to get than all-star third baseman, all-star shortstop. So that's why I don't make fun of the people who want to trade him. And I'm not making fun of you if you want to keep him. I'm not. Totally get it. But there has to be a commitment from this organization that not only, if I'm keeping Scoble, it means I'm signing him. There's no scenario I'm waiting to sign him. But it also means, what am I putting around this young man? Because otherwise we are the Mariners with King Felix, the bad years. You're wasting time. 248-539-9797. Antoine is next, 97.1. What's up, Antoine?
What up, what up, what up, Mike? And that's why it is stronger than a 10% chance that they're going to deal Scoble. Putting it into perspective and putting Scoble into perspective, he's probably having the best individual season of a Detroit sports player since probably the year Calvin Johnson caught the 2,000 yards, or and I believe that was after the Miguel Cabrera Triple Crown. But he is really doing something like extraordinary. And guess what? I think we still should trade him, because what you said is right. Getting an all-star shortstop or positional players and benefiting off of what they have done well lately, which is develop pitching. Don't know where that came from. Don't know if it's an Alavila thing. We'll find out. But they're developing pitching at a high rate. So if I can get surefire, multiple surefire guys that I'm plugging into my lineup, and I'm still going to have Olsen, and I'm still going to have these other pieces, and we're still going to acquire other players, I think, unfortunately, we got to make this deal. And losing Reese Olsen for the 15-day or a little bit longer, it does make a major impact. Listen, it's gotten a little murky because they are on fire, and we've been waiting to see this all year. But yep, it's just a little bit too late, Mike.
I'm with you. 62 games to go. It's a math equation. It's very hard for me to say they're going to win two of every three games.
If this was 20 games ago, Mike, different, and you still had 80 games to go,
different.
Now you're talking, yes, completely different story. It's just a little bit too late. So I don't want to see them lose, and I don't want to see them lose what looks to be a transitional type of player in Scoble. But you got to do what's best for the franchise going forward. You know you need to let Flaherty go. That's a smarter decision anyway, because at the end of the day, you have no contractual rights to him after this year. So he got a role. But at the end of the day, if you're not going to have Flaherty and you're not going to have Olsen, we got to get out of here with Scoble, by dealing Scoble and getting some pieces. And one last thing, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Heaven forbid, knock on wood, knock on 2x4s, 4x4s, whatever you want to knock on. If we keep Scoble, and he was to have a major injury, and we didn't deal him for the pieces that we could have acquired,
it'll upend the whole franchise. Man. No, I'm with you. Man. Antoine, Antoine, you and I share the same perspective. Again, not telling you it's right. I'm just being honest with my listeners. I view pitchers as ticking time bombs. So it cuts one of two ways. If you're going to make a long-term commitment to a guy who's already had a major arm issue, that's up to your doctors. I totally get wanting to sign him. But I'm like Antoine. If I don't know that this guy wants to sign, and I'm being offered the world, the moon, the stars, the sky, one of Rico's UFOs, to trade him, I will opt for the trade. David, there's another report today. We started with the Verducci. It morphed into the Costa. Then it was the Morosi. Then it was the Nightingale. And later today, we now have the Bowden report.
Ooh, yeah.
Yep, I know. You just hate to see it. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls next. 97.1. You know, I was just thinking about this, David. I mean, and I have to be honest, too, is like part of the reason I can't get excited about the winning, beyond the math, beyond Reese Olsen's injury being, to me, crippling, because now you're just out of options in the rotation. But we talk about, if we keep Scoble, how you got to start acting like a serious baseball team. And you juxtapose it with, for the people who go, look, I want to buy, I believe, we're going to make a run. Okay, I'm not mocking you. I'm being serious here. How can I take your team seriously when you trot out Javi Baez every day? So I wanted to just have some fun with you for a minute. So wins above replacement, right? So where do you rank as a player in a holistic fashion? Like, do you help your team or hurt your team? So the top shortstop, for instance, and again, some of these guys, they'll play multiple positions. Some guys are just all short. But Gunnar Henderson's a 6.3 WAR player. He's your league MVP. All right, no, that's not fair. Bobby Witt is what you hope Jackson Holiday turns into. Also not fair, but Bobby Witt is a 6.2. Ellie De La Cruz, 4.54. Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, Mookie Betts, Willie Adames. These are all guys above 3.5 WAR. David, I'm going down the list now. I got to go a little bit further to find bias. Anthony Volpe, 2.7. Seager, 2.6. Kim, the kid for the pods, 2.5. Mason Wynn, Cardinals, 2.4. I still got to keep going here for bias. I'll keep going. Ezekiel Tovar, who was a Rockies prospect, 2.4. C.J. Abrams, one of the guys in the Soto deal. All-Star, 2.2. All right. Now, Onyel Cruz has not been very good, but 2.1. Jeremy Pena, 2. Neto, the kid for the Angels, 2. Boys, I got to keep going. Dansby Swanson, 1.4. J.P. Crawford, 1.3. Paul DeJong, good God, 0.7. I'm still going. Sedan Rafaela, who plays some center field too, but he's 0.9. Bo Bichette's been awful and hurt 3 times this year, 0.2. Oh, no. Now we're into the negatives. Orlando Arcia, minus 0.2. All right, still got to go a little further for Harvey. Let's go a little further. Where? How do I go further? Oh, no. Where's Harvey? David, where's Harvey? Where? Hold, please. Oh, wait. Javi Baez, negative 1.8 and dead last of any human being who's played shortstop this season. In fact, Javi Baez, not only is he almost a negative 2 WAR player. No, no. Javi Baez has now reestablished himself like Ted DiBiase, the million-dollar man. He has reestablished himself as having the single worst OPS in baseball at a 451. If you want me to take your franchise seriously, or you want me to start doing whippets and think this team's going to win 92 baseball games, you cannot start that guy on a daily basis. So when you get upset that there are trade Skubal people, it is because you are starting Frankenstein at third. It is because you brazenly and stubbornly, and it's almost like a personal affront to your customer base, trot Javi Baez out there.
And he's batting eighth tonight. Hooray!
Batting third? Seriously. I mean, Kenny, like, is it wrong that it affects my ability to take them seriously?
It's so far beyond poor. Like, him starting is actively crippling this team, and they're continuing to trot him out there. It's not like he's your platoon shortstop. No. He's your everyday shortstop, and it's actively costing this team games. Whether you want to look at WAR or OPS or any number that I assume offensively you can bring up, I'm assuming he's at the bottom of them all.
This franchise wants you to take them serious. Fans or media want you to fall in line, get on board the good times bus. Okay. The last time we heard your president of baseball ops talk, he tried to tell you what a great defensive player Javi Baez was. He was a negative 8 defensive run saved when he said it. This guy is the single worst baseball player in the sport, and you keep trotting him out. And I don't want to hear about Kreidler's worse. Because you know what Scott Harris could have done if you wanted me to take it serious? You would have sent Javi to some remote island, and you would have made a very minor trade just for a player who's a flat 0 WAR player. I struggle with it. I admit it. It's bias. It's. I'm being honest with you, my listener. They're winning, and it's been fun. But as long as they keep trotting this bum out there, it's hard for me to sit here and knock people who want to trade Skubal. It's hard for me to sit here and believe that this ownership will do anything, because the reality is, in a real organization, Javi Baez would have been bought out. It's just really hard to square the circle on it. And Kenny's right. I mean, let's say you want to believe. Let's say you're enjoying it for the moment. And they got a series against Cleveland tonight. Javi Baez hurts your ability to win that series. How can you play a player who hurts you? It's the equivalent of continuing to start Maeda, except you made a decision and you put him in the pen. We'll get more to people. I know we got to keep it timely. Couple of ticket texts. We'll get back to the calls. We do have a new Scoobal report. We'll get to that at 4. David, go ahead.
I think I broke something. My hatred for Scott Harris to the side.
David.
Oh, no, you did.
Oh, no. Vacation was very intense for you. Good.
Oh, I'm good. In the camp of trades are fun, and you should always, always be trying to get better. Someone else says, I'm so on board with trading Scoobal for some of those Baltimore prospects that I will now be very disappointed if they don't. That
See,
is Sam and Keigo Harbor.
Yeah, but here's the problem. That's the Rieger approach. And I love Jeff, but I can't be disappointed about something that hasn't been offered. I need to see a report of what was offered and what you turned down before I can go into emotional classification. Show me you turned down Holiday Mayo plus plus. I'll be right there in Keigo Harbor with you.
My issue trading Flaherty is I hear the Tigers may only get an A-ball player. That's it. I'd rather keep him, see if you can extend him, and if not, take the draft pick.
Okay. Now, that is totally your prerogative. Not upset about it. But you got to re-sign him. I don't want the draft pick. Because the draft pick ain't going to help you till 2029. By the time you select said player, and it's likely, you know, it's the bottom of the round. I mean, honestly. If you want to re-sign Jack Flaherty, we can have that discussion. I'm not upset with you in the least. If you told me you want your rotation to be Scoobal, Flaherty, Olsen, Jobe, I get that pathway. How you're going to form a lineup, I have no idea. But that pitching staff, that's 95 win good. I'm not mad at you if you hold that opinion. We'll get more of it next. 97.1. I know it's been a lot of Scoobal and a lot of Tigers. They're red hot. We take a quick TO, get a little football in the mix just to balance it all out. David, music, please. Oh, God. All right. What do you need from me, being that I don't have a college football team?
The Big Ten preseason poll was voted upon by the media today.
Oh, this ought to be good.
So let's go through 1 through 18.
First of all, what's the name of the conference?
The Big Ten.
How many teams?
18.
Kill me. All right, go ahead. Seriously. None of it makes sense.
All right, so who do you think is the worst team in the Big Ten this season?
Oh, baby. I think it resides in the state of Indiana. It's either the Hoosiers or Purdue. Coaching changes, rebuilds, the portal. One of those two.
Yeah, Purdue's number 18, Indiana's number 17.
Yeah, and Cignetti is a really good football coach. I just couldn't believe the brazen commentary. He basically was like, Google me, bitch. Like, he got up at a press conference and is like, check my stats. I'm like, Kurt, you're coaching Indiana. You might want to power down.
Like, what are you doing here, sir?
Right, like if Jim Harbaugh pulls the power play, cool. Kurt Cignetti? All right, so those are the bottom two.
Those are the bottom two.
So, all right, now that would be who's 16th? This is a gaggle of teams.
In the Big Ten, yes.
I think Northwestern would be in this mix. I think Michigan State might be in the mix.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ugh.
Michigan State is number 16th in the list. So their average rank was 14.59. So...
Let me give you two thoughts on this. A, I don't know how anyone's really predicting much of anything once you get past Michigan, OSU, Oregon. If you asked me to start naming MSU players, I don't know if I'd get past 30 guys on an 85-man roster. I don't know any of these people. Who are these people? But I will tell you this is point two. If they are the 16th best team in this conference, or they are a bottom three team in this conference, fire everyone and burn the stadium down. Come on. I mean, if you're 16th, what are they going, 3-9?
I would think so, yeah.
Well, then just shut the collective down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We ain't Purdue. We're not Indiana. Give me a break. We're not Oregon and Michigan either. but for Christ's sakes, come
on. Somewhere more in the middle. Not
Jonathan Smith can put his scarf back on and go back to Beaverton, Oregon, or wherever the hell he's from. If they're the 16th best team in the Big Ten, that stadium should be demolished. Sell it to Gilbert. Have him build a skyscraper. He's done with the one in downtown Detroit. Have him go build one in East Lansing.
All of a sudden, there's this big skyscraper. See, I don't care. University.
I can't tell you, David, if they're 16th best.
That's bad. That is bad.
All right, 15. It's got to be something like Northwestern, Iowa, Maryland, something in that range.
A new addition. UCLA. UCLA is number 15.
You're right. Nothing says Big Ten like a team from Los Angeles.
That's why I was laughing, because you're naming Big Ten schools.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's what we're normally used to. Maryland, Illinois, right. Northwestern.
They lost their coach. They lost their quarterback. It's a new conference. I don't think they're built to play in this conference without. Look, Chip Kelly, for all of his faults, they used a ton of tight ends, a ton of power football, a big-time running game. Yeah, it makes sense. That I'm telling you, UCLA, yikes.
Yeah, it's going to be long time coming.
Go ahead.
14th, Northwestern. 13th, Illinois.
Well, okay, now that surprises me a little. But you know what hurts them? No divisions.
Yes.
No more Bielamamumu playing that Big Ten West schedule. You're right. That actually really does hurt them.
So I think based on this, just what we got to so far, the Big Ten could just get rid of the state of Illinois and the state of Indiana.
I'd be good.
We
with
don't
it.
Need them I'm in the Big Ten anymore.
Sure. Sure.
Number 12, Minnesota.
Okay. This is one where sneaky PJ Fleck could be in some trouble. There are people who don't like PJ Fleck. And I think he has done a fine job at Minnesota. Why? You know, I was just thinking about this, David. I mean, and I have to be honest, too, is like part of the reason I can't get excited about the winning, beyond the math, beyond Reese Olsen's injury being, to me, crippling, because now you're just out of options in the rotation. But we talk about, if we keep Skubal, how you got to start acting like a serious baseball team. And you juxtapose it with, for the people who go, look, I want to buy, I believe, we're going to make a run. Okay, I'm not mocking you. I'm being serious here. How can I take your team seriously when you trot out Javi Baez every day? So I wanted to just have some fun with you for a minute. So wins above replacement, right? So where do you rank as a player in a holistic fashion? Like, do you help your team or hurt your team? So the top shortstop, for instance, and again, some of these guys, they'll play multiple positions. Some guys are just all short. But Gunnar Henderson's a 6.3 WAR player. He's your league MVP. All right, no, that's not fair. Bobby Witt is what you hope Jackson Holliday turns into. Also not fair, but Bobby Witt is a 6.2. Ellie De La Cruz, 4.5 WAR. Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, Mookie Betts, Willie Adames. These are all guys above 3.5 WAR. David, I'm going down the list now. I got to go a little bit further to find bias. Anthony Volpe, 2.7. Seager, 2.6. Kim, the kid for the pods, 2.5. Mason Wynn, Cardinals, 2.4. I still got to keep going here for bias. I'll keep going. Ezekiel Tovar, who was a Rockies prospect, 2.4. C.J. Abrams, one of the guys in the Soto deal. All-star, 2.2. All right. Now, Onyel Cruz has not been very good, but 2.1. Jeremy Pena, 2. Neto, the kid for the Angels. 2. Boys, I got to keep going. Dansby Swanson, 1.4. J.P. Crawford, 1.3. Paul DeJong, good God, 0.7. I'm still going. Sedan Rafaela, who plays some center field too, but he's 0.9. Bo Bichette's been awful and hurt 3 times this year, 0.2. Oh, no. Now we're into the negatives. Orlando Arcia, minus 0.2. All right, I still got to go a little further for Harvey. Let's go a little further. How do I go further? Oh, no. Where's Harvey? David, where's Harvey? Hold, please. Oh, wait. Javi Baez, negative 1.8 and dead last of any human being who's played shortstop this season. In fact, Javi Baez. Not only is he almost a negative two war player. No. Javi Baez has now reestablished himself like Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man. He has reestablished himself as having the single worst OPS in baseball at a 451. If you want me to take your franchise seriously, or you want me to start doing whippets and think this team's going to win 92 baseball games, you cannot start that guy on a daily basis. So when you get upset that there are trade Skubal people, it is because you are starting Frankenstein at third. It is because you brazenly and stubbornly, and it's almost like a personal affront to your customer base, trot Javi Baez out there.
And he's batting eighth tonight. Hooray!
Batting third? Seriously. I mean, Kenny, like, is it wrong that it affects my ability to take them seriously?
It's so far beyond poor. Like, him starting is actively crippling this team, and they're continuing to trot him out there. It's not like he's your platoon shortstop. No. He's your everyday shortstop, and it's actively costing this team games. Whether you want to look at WAR or OPS or any number that I assume offensively you can bring up, I'm assuming he's at the bottom of them all.
This franchise wants you to take them serious. Fans or media want you to fall in line, get on board the good times bus. Okay. The last time we heard your president of baseball ops talk, he tried to tell you what a great defensive player Javi Baez was. He was a -8 defensive run saved when he said it. This guy is the single worst baseball player in the sport, and you keep trotting him out. And I don't want to hear about Kreidler's worse, because you know what Scott Harris could have done if you wanted me to take it serious? You would have sent Javi to some remote island, and you would have made a very minor trade just for a player who's a flat zero WAR player. I struggle with it. I admit it. It's bias. It's. I'm being honest with you, my listener. They're winning, and it's been fun. But as long as they keep trotting this bum out there, it's hard for me to sit here and knock people who want to trade Skubal. It's hard for me to sit here and believe that this ownership will do anything, because the reality is, in a real organization, Javi Baez would have been bought out. It's just really hard to square the circle on it. And Kenny's right. I mean, let's say you want to believe. Let's say you're enjoying it for the moment. And they got a series against Cleveland tonight. Javi Baez hurts your ability to win that series. How can you play a player who hurts you? It's the equivalent of continuing to start Maeda, except you made a decision and you put him in the pen. We'll get more to people. I know we got to keep it timely. Couple of ticket texts. We'll get back to the calls. We do have a new Skubal report. We'll get to that at 4. David, go ahead.
I think I broke something. My hatred for Scott Harris to the side.
David.
Oh, no, you did.
Oh, no. Vacation was very intense for you. Good.
Oh, I'm good. In the camp of trades are fun, and you should always, always be trying to get better. Someone else says, I'm so on board with trading Skubal for some of those Baltimore prospects that I will now be very disappointed if they don't. That
See,
is Sam and Keigo Harbor.
Yeah, but here's the problem. That's the Rieger approach. And I love Jeff, but I can't be disappointed about something that hasn't been offered. I need to see a report of what was offered and what you turned down before I can go into emotional classification. Show me you turned down Holiday Mayo plus plus. I'll be right there in Keigo Harbor with you.
My issue trading Flaherty is I hear the Tigers may only get an A-ball player. That's it. I'd rather keep him, see if you can extend him, and if not, take the draft pick.
Okay. Now, that is totally your prerogative. Not upset about it. But you got to re-sign him. I don't want the draft pick. Because the draft pick ain't going to help you till 2029. By the time you select said player, and it's likely, you know, it's the bottom of the round. I mean, honestly. If you want to re-sign Jack Flaherty, we can have that discussion. I'm not upset with you in the least. If you told me you want your rotation to be Skubal, Flaherty, Olsen, Jobe, I get that pathway. How you're going to form a lineup, I have no idea. But that pitching staff, that's 95 win good. I'm not mad at you if you hold that opinion. We'll get more of it next. 97.1. I know it's been a lot of Skubal and a lot of Tigers, the red hot. We take a quick TO, get a little football in the mix just to balance it all out. David, music, please. God. All right. What do you need from me, being that I don't have a college football team?
The Big Ten preseason poll was voted upon by the media today.
Oh, this ought to be good.
So let's go through 1 through 18.
First of all, what's the name of the conference?
The Big Ten.
How many teams?
18.
Kill me. All right, go ahead. Seriously. None of it makes sense.
All right, so who do you think is the worst team in the Big Ten this season?
Oh, baby. I think it resides in the state of Indiana. It's either the Hoosiers or Purdue. Coaching changes, rebuilds, the portal. One of those two.
Yeah, Purdue's number 18, Indiana's number 17.
Yeah, and Cignetti is a really good football coach. I just couldn't believe the brazen commentary. He basically was like, Google me, bitch. Like, he got up at a press conference, is like, check my stats. I'm like, Kurt, you're coaching Indiana. You might want to power down.
What are you doing here, sir?
Right. Like, if Jim Harbaugh pulls the power play, cool. Kurt Cignetti? All right, so those are the bottom two?
Those are the bottom two.
So, all right, now that would be who's 16th? This is a gaggle of teams.
In the Big Ten, yes.
I think Northwestern would be in this mix. I think Michigan State might be in the mix.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ugh.
Michigan State is number 16th in the list. So their average rank was 14.59. So...
Let me give you two thoughts on this. A, I don't know how anyone's really predicting much of anything once you get past Michigan, OSU, Oregon. If you asked me to start naming MSU players, I don't know if I'd get past 30 guys on an 85-man roster. I don't know any of these people. Who are these people? But I will tell you this is point two. If they are the 16th best team in this conference, or they are a bottom three team in this conference, fire everyone and burn the stadium down. Come on. I mean, if you're 16th, what are they going, 3-9?
I would think so, yeah.
Well, then just shut the collective down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We ain't Purdue. We're not Indiana. Give me a break. We're not Oregon and Michigan either. But for Christ's sakes, come
should
on.
Be somewhere more in the middle. Not
Jonathan Smith can put his scarf back on and go back to Beaverton, Oregon, or wherever the hell he's from. If they're the 16th best team in the Big Ten, that stadium should be demolished. Sell it to Gilbert. Have him build a skyscraper. He's done with the one in downtown Detroit. Have him go build one in East Lansing.
All of a sudden, there's this big skyscraper. See, I don't care. University.
I can't tell you, David, if they're 16th best.
That's bad. That is bad.
All right, 15. It's got to be something like Northwestern, Iowa, Maryland. Something in that range?
A new addition. UCLA. UCLA is number 15.
You're right. Nothing says Big Ten like a team from Los Angeles.
That's why I was laughing, because you're naming Big Ten schools.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's what we're normally used to. Maryland, Illinois, right. Northwestern.
They lost their coach. They lost their quarterback. It's a new conference. I don't think they're built to play in this conference without. Look, Chip Kelly, for all of his faults, they used a ton of tight ends, a ton of power football, a big-time running game. Yeah, it makes sense. I'm telling you, UCLA, yikes.
Yeah, it's going to be long time coming.
Go ahead.
14th, Northwestern. 13th, Illinois.
Well, okay, now that surprises me a little. But you know what hurts them? No divisions.
Yes.
No more Bielema-Mumu playing that Big Ten West schedule. You're right. That actually really does hurt them.
So I think based on this, just what we got to so far, the Big Ten could just get rid of the state of Illinois and the state of Indiana.
I'd be good
we
with
don't
it.
Need them I'm in Big Ten anymore.
Sure, sure.
Number 12, Minnesota.
Okay, this is one where sneaky, P.J. Fleck could be in some trouble. There are people who don't like P.J. Fleck. And I think he has done a fine job at Minnesota. Why? It's Minnesota. But this is a year you lost your quarterback.
Yes.
You got gutted. You lost a very good senior class. New Big Ten. Tougher comp. You're not going to be insulated in the West. That's one, if they go like 4-8, 5-7, you're going to hear people barking. Which is crazy. It's Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. Number 11 is Maryland.
Christ, thank God Rico's got the day off. He'd be incensed at the disrespect shown towards Maryland.
He would be also incensed at the disrespect of Purple Rain at number 10, Washington.
Now, again, you lose the best quarterback they've had since, what, Warren Moon?
Yes.
You lose the architect of the offense. I don't buy it. I don't buy Washington's sustainability year in, year out. I think they're going to have a very hard time in the Big Ten. And again, this would come down to they're going to have to recruit at a way different level.
Definitely so. Number 9 would be Rutgers.
Oh, I'll say this. Rutgers. It's the NIL there is strong to very strong. They've already got like 35 kids signed for next year. It's like year 50 for Schiano. Can they finally find a passing game? Apparently the answer is going to be yes if they're ranked 9.
Yeah, I guess so. Number 8 would be Nebraska. 7, Wisconsin.
This is the year Nebraska gets it right.
Sure they do.
I think Nebraska can win 8 games.
They can. I mean.
And I'm interested in Wisconsin. Year 2, Luke Fickell, air raid offense. More of the pieces will make sense. You won't have a 300-pound running back in the air raid. I could see Wisconsin stepping forward.
Number 6 would be USC.
I disagree completely.
I'm also disagreeing. I think Nebraska and USC should switch, to be honest.
I got a lot of questions because Lincoln Riley, it's offensively, he's a genius. But this has become terminal. The problems that Lincoln Riley, whether it's Oklahoma all the way to USC now, it is a terminal illness known as defense. I got to see USC begin to play adequate defense before I would ever take them remotely seriously.
And then on the other side, number 5 would be Iowa. You have to see an offense from that team.
Come on. Are you serious?
Yeah, but you already said it. Past Michigan, what else do you have in this Big Ten right now? But
Iowa, no Big Ten West schedule.
Yeah.
No offensive pieces.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
God, I hate them.
And when I say outside of Michigan, people, this
and
is what I mean.
And I can't hate them because they do the nice stuff for the sick kids in the hospital, and you're like, wow, that's classy, but I hate watching this team, but there are the sick kids. It's like I want to like them, but I also want them out of the conference, not the kids, the team. I can't take Iowa anymore. Watching their games, it's awful.
It is
awful.
Don't
the sick kids deserve a better product offensively?
I think so.
Don't they want an air raid offense?
At this point, they're like, stop waving at me. Stop and get an offense.
Thanks for waving. Can you score a touchdown? I'm in the hospital, for Christ's sakes. We're out here winning 3-0.
And the top 4 teams in the Big Ten, number 4, Michigan, number 3, Penn State, number 2, Oregon, number 1, Ohio State.
I would just flip Michigan and Penn State because James Franklin's a know-nothing bum. And I don't
fair.
And I don't trust their quarterback or receiver play. Look, Michigan, to me, they may have 2 of the top 5 players in America. Mason Graham and Will Johnson. Just on a football player basis, one dude is a game wrecker on the interior defensive line, which is, that's worth $10 million a year. The other guy can pretty much take away 99% of receivers. You can keep Penn State. Sorry, I have no idea who's playing quarterback for Michigan. It might be one of your kids. But that defense is going to play.
Well, where's that NIL money?
Here's 50 cents. Your kid's 3 feet tall. What the hell you think I'm paying?
Hey, man, give me something. I'll take the 50 cents. That is your Big Ten college football blitz.
I know it's been a lot of school bowl and a lot of Tigers. They're red hot. We take a quick TO, get a little football in the mix just to balance it all out. David, music, please. Oh, God. All right. What do you need from me, being that I don't have a college football team?
The Big Ten preseason poll was voted upon by the media today.
Oh, this ought to be good.
So let's go through 1 through 18.
First of all, what's the name of the conference?
The Big Ten.
How many teams?
18.
Kill me. All right, go ahead. Seriously. None of it makes sense.
All right, so who do you think is the worst team in the Big Ten this season?
Oh, baby. I think it resides in the state of Indiana. It's either the Hoosiers or Purdue. Coaching changes, rebuilds, the portal. One of those two.
Yeah, Purdue's number 18, Indiana's number 17.
Yeah, and Cignetti is a really good football coach. I just couldn't believe the brazen commentary. He basically was like, Google me, bitch. Like, he got up at a press conference and is like, check my stats. I'm like, Kurt, you're coaching Indiana. You might want to power down.
Like, what are you doing here, sir?
Right. Like, if Jim Harbaugh pulls the power play, cool. Kurt Cignetti? All right, so those are the bottom two?
Those are the bottom two.
So, all right, now that would be who's 16th? This is a gaggle of teams.
In the Big Ten, yes.
I think Northwestern would be in this mix. I think Michigan State might be in the mix.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ugh.
Michigan State is number 16th in the list. So their average rank was 14.59. So...
Let me give you two thoughts on this. A, I don't know how anyone's really predicting much of anything once you get past Michigan, OSU, Oregon. If you asked me to start naming MSU players, I don't know if I'd get past 30 guys on an 85-man roster. I don't know any of these people. Who are these people? But I will tell you this is point two. If they are the 16th best team in this conference, or they are a bottom three team in this conference, fire everyone and burn the stadium down. Come on. I mean, if you're 16th, what are they going, 3-9?
I would think so, yeah.
Well, then just shut the collective down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We ain't Purdue. We're not Indiana. Give me a break. We're not Oregon and Michigan either. But for Christ's sakes, come on.
Be somewhere more in the middle. Not
Jonathan Smith can put his scarf back on and go back to Beaverton, Oregon, or wherever the hell he's from. If they're the 16th best team in the Big Ten, that stadium should be demolished. Sell it to Gilbert. Have him build a skyscraper. He's done with the one in downtown Detroit. Have him go build one in East Lansing.
All of a sudden, there's this big skyscraper. See, I don't care. University.
I can't tell you, David, if they're 16th best.
That's bad. That is bad.
All right, 15. It's got to be something like Northwestern, Iowa, Maryland. Something in that range?
A new addition. UCLA. UCLA is number 15.
You're right. Nothing says Big Ten like a team from Los Angeles.
That's why I was laughing, because you're naming Big Ten schools.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's what we're normally used to. Maryland, Illinois, right. Northwestern.
They lost their coach. They lost their quarterback. It's a new conference. I don't think they're built to play in this conference without. Look, Chip Kelly, for all of his faults, they used a ton of tight ends, a ton of power football, a big-time running game. Yeah, it makes sense. I'm telling you, UCLA, yikes.
Yeah, it's going to be long time coming.
Go ahead.
14th, Northwestern. 13th, Illinois.
Well, okay, now that surprises me a little. But you know what hurts them? No divisions.
Yes.
No more Bielema-Mumu playing that Big Ten West schedule. You're right. That actually really does hurt them.
So I think based on this, just what we got to so far, the Big Ten could just get rid of the state of Illinois and the state of Indiana.
I'd be good
with
it. We
don't need them in the Big Ten anymore.
Sure. Sure.
Number 12, Minnesota.
Okay. This is one where sneaky, P.J. Fleck could be in some trouble. There are people who don't like P.J. Fleck. And I think he has done a fine job at Minnesota. Why? It's Minnesota. But this is a year you lost your quarterback.
Yes.
You got gutted. You lost a very good senior class. New Big Ten. Tougher comp. You're not going to be insulated in the West. That's one. If they go like 4-8, 5-7, you're going to hear people barking, which is crazy. It's Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. Number 11 is Maryland.
Christ, thank God Rico's got the day off. He'd be incensed at the disrespect shown towards Maryland.
He would be also incensed at the disrespect of Purple Rain at number 10, Washington.
Now, again, you lose the best quarterback they've had since, what, Warren Moon?
Yes.
You lose the architect of the offense. I don't buy it. I don't buy Washington's sustainability year in, year out. I think they're going to have a very hard time in the Big Ten. And again, this would come down to they're going to have to recruit at a way different level.
Definitely so. Number 9 would be Rutgers.
Oh, I'll say this. Rutgers. It's the NIL there is strong to very strong. They've already got like 35 kids signed for next year. It's like year 50 for Schiano. Can they finally find a passing game? Apparently the answer is going to be yes if they're ranked 9.
Yeah, I guess so. Number 8 would be Nebraska. 7, Wisconsin.
This is the year Nebraska gets it right.
Sure they do.
I think Nebraska can win 8 games.
They can. I mean,
and I'm interested in Wisconsin. Year 2, Luke Fickell, air raid offense. More of the pieces will make sense. You won't have a 300-pound running back in the air raid. I could see Wisconsin stepping forward.
Number 6 would be USC.
I disagree completely.
I'm also disagreeing. I think Nebraska and USC should switch, to be honest.
I got a lot of questions because Lincoln Riley, it's offensively, he's a genius. But this has become terminal. The problems that Lincoln Riley, whether it's Oklahoma all the way to USC now, it is a terminal illness known as defense. I got to see USC begin to play adequate defense before I would ever take them remotely seriously.
And then on the other side, number 5 would be Iowa. You have to see an offense from that team.
Come on. Are you serious?
Yeah, but you already said it. Past Michigan, what else do you have in this Big Ten right now? But
Iowa, no Big Ten West schedule.
Yeah.
No offensive pieces.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
God, I hate them.
And when I say outside of Michigan, people, this
and
is what I mean.
And I can't hate them because they do the nice stuff for the sick kids in the hospital, and you're like, wow, that's classy, but I hate watching this team, but there are the sick kids. It's like I want to like them, but I also want them out of the conference, not the kids, the team. I can't take Iowa anymore. Watching their games, it's awful.
It is.
Don't
awful.
The sick kids deserve a better product offensively?
I think so.
Don't they want an air raid offense?
At this point, they're come like, stop on. Waving at me. Stop
right.
And get an
thanks
offense.
Thanks for waving. Can you score a touchdown? I'm in the hospital, for Christ's sakes. We're out here winning 3-0.
And the top 4 teams in the Big Ten, number 4, Michigan, number 3, Penn State, number 2, Oregon, number 1, Ohio State.
I would just flip Michigan and Penn State because James Franklin's a know-nothing bum. And I don't
that's
like,
fair.
And I don't trust their quarterback or receiver play. Look, Michigan, to me, they may have 2 of the top 5 players in America. Mason Graham and Will Johnson. Just on a football player basis, one dude is a game wrecker on the interior
yes.
defensive line,
yes.
which is, that's worth $10 million a year. The other guy can pretty much take away 99% of receivers. You can keep Penn State. Sorry, I have no idea who's playing quarterback for Michigan. It might be one of your kids. But that defense is going to play.
Well, where's that NIL money?
Here's 50 cents. Your kid's 3 feet tall. What the hell you think I'm paying?
Hey, man, give me something. I'll take the 50 cents. That is your Big Ten college football blitz.